hold of you, and that was so powerful. You just couldn't seem to free yourself. You know, that's the way I think the people of Israel felt. They'd been over 400 years, they'd been captive with the Israelites, enslaved, you know. Do you think they felt like they could ever go free? I don't think so, you know. And I got to thinking, which is always a dangerous thought, right, that Moses had to have felt the same way. And the reason I say that is because then for 40 years he's been a sheep herder, right? Used to be the prince, but don't you think he's kind of forgotten about that? Don't you think he's just decided he's going to be a sheep herder the rest of his life? That's the way it's going to be. And so when God calls him to send him out of misery, of course Moses is going to say, there is no way I, a sheep herder, could do that, you know? But what a far cry from 40 years before when he was a prince in Egypt, right? What would he have said then? He's held captive, isn't he? Captive about feeling that he can no longer make a difference. And maybe sometimes your situation makes you think nothing's ever gonna change. It's always gonna be like this. We can feel like a slave, just like the Israel did. We can be so beaten down that we can just accept that God can't do anything else in our lives, right? That's the way the Egyptians felt about Pharaoh. That's the way the Israelites felt about the gods of Israel. They're just too powerful, can't do anything to fight against. But, you know, early on, we were given this little bitty clue. Early on in the very beginning, remember this Sunday we were talking about the midwives? Here's the clue. What's the name of Pharaoh? We don't know, do we? We knew the names of the midwives, didn't we? And in the Bible, that's lingo to say, if they don't have a name, they don't have any power. So we've been already given a little hint. So God instructs Moses and Aaron. Remember that God said, okay, I'll send Aaron with you. He can be your mouthpiece. Sometimes that happens in a marriage. I've noticed that, you know. And so he says, because you better go prepare the people. So they go to prepare the people, and they say, here's a message from God. God has sent me. I am your God. I've heard your pain. I've heard your misery. I'm going to take you out of Egypt. I'm going to take you to the promised land. And the people said, hallelujah, right? Of course not. It's two sheep herders that are saying this, right? But God gave them a little help in the matter. He'd given them a staff. And with this staff, they were able to perform miracles. So the people said, well, maybe that is possible, right? So Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh and they say, okay, let these people go. My God says they need to go because they need to go out and they need to have a festival for me. And the Pharaoh said, go right ahead. I think you're entitled to that. Right? You've read the same scripture I have. That's not what he said. He said, I don't think so. He says, as a matter of fact, since you're asking so politely, I'm going to make it harder on them. They're going to have to do just as many bricks, but I'm not providing any of the materials for them to do that. And I'm sure the Israelites looked at Moses and Aaron and said, you have got to be kidding. There's no way now. Now it's going to be 10 times harder for me, right? So Moses keeps going back to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh keeps saying no. So God eventually sends what? Some plagues, doesn't he? Now, first I have to tell you, a lot of people say, I don't like that part because I don't think it's fair that the plagues were done on the people. The truth of the matter is they weren't. What we begin to have is this epic battle of gods. It's the Egyptians' gods versus the God of Israelite. And once you read this, you have to read it very carefully. You'll see that some of the plagues kind of look like the gods. John, could you bring that up for me? This is an example of some of the Egyptian gods. The first plague, of course, was where they took the Nile and they turned it into the blood as a way of showing that God had a control of the Nile. Well, in Egyptian mythology, there was one of these up here, is called the god Hapi, and he was important to sustaining life in Egypt. But when this happens to the Nile, then, well, That God is not as powerful as Yahweh, right? So in the second plague, you see the God up there that looks like a frog? You see that one? Okay. Well, in the second plague, the frogs are climbing out of the river. They're going all over. They're a nuisance to the people. That's Heket, the Egyptian god, who's often portrayed as a frog. And can he overcome what Yahweh has done him? All right. Yay for Yahweh. Not so good on the Egyptian gods, right? Likewise, that death of the cattle. See the middle one? That's the middle god. You know, that's the Egyptian Hathor, female goddess. And she was often portrayed as a cow. And so when the cows are dying, the steers, then this means that Yahweh has defeated yet another god of the Egyptians. And they go on and on and on until we get to the ninth plague. And the ninth plague is when the sun was blotted out. Well, the Greeks god at that time was Ra. And Ra was the god of the sun. And the fact that Yahweh could blot out the sun means that Ra was defeated. Kind of an interesting note, I'll just kind of tell you this. Some people think that Ramesses II or Ramesses the Great was the pharaoh at that time. And the name Moses, which is part of Ramoses, if you look at that, meant son of. Now, since Moses was born on the Nile, he was a son of no one. Ramesses, or Moses, was the son of who? Ra. Which means Ramesses, if that was a god then, had no power at all as well. So that takes us to the climax of our story when judgment's going to be poured out on Egypt, and Egypt is not going to stand in the way of God's plan, although the Pharaoh doesn't think that, right? We know that God's going to deliver his people from death. He's going to deliver us from oppression. He's going to deliver them from the slavery that's been there. And eventually, he's going to take them to the promised land, but that's a couple of weeks down the road when we'll be talking about that. So Moses tells the Israelites to prepare for the last plague by slaughtering a calf. And do you remember what they were supposed to do with the blood from slaughtering the calf? Yes, they're supposed to mark their doorways for that, so that when the angel of death comes to kill the firstborn of each one of the Egyptians, they will pass over that particular door. Which is why, even to this day, that the Jewish people will celebrate the Passover, which is their remembrance of when Moses saved them and God saved them, took them out of Israel. So the Israelites then are free because Pharaoh says, get out of here. And they start moving out, and they're moving towards the sea. And by the way, it wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. But since we're telling a story, we'll call it the Red Sea, right? And then they see the sea, and all of a sudden the Pharaoh's heart is hardened, isn't he? What does Pharaoh do then? He sends his army, 600 of them, right? And to go after the Israelites and to bring them back, because he says, then you're not going now. I'm sure he just figured out his whole slavery. Everybody that was building the temples at that time for them, they were gone. And so what do the Israelites do? They say, hey, I'm going to die. I'm sure many of them would say, let's go back to Egypt. We'll at least have a place to live, right? But then what happens? God again proves he's more powerful than the Pharaoh, more powerful than all the greatest army that at that time was on earth, by pushing back the sea that night, right, with a strong wind so that there's dry land. And the next day, Moses led the Israelites across, and the Egyptians chased them, but what happens? This is your test to see if you know the scripture. The water closes over them, doesn't it? And every one of them is killed. I think that every one of us has been created for greatness, to be great with God, to do something. Moses was created for greatness. When we think about what Moses has learned, he learned everything he needed to know leading his people. When he was in Egypt, education, philosophy, science, religion, knew how to lead an army, knew how to lead people, right? And then he goes and he's a sheep herder. He learns patience. He learns more about his God. He learns to follow him, right? But I don't think Moses would have been able to rescue the Israelites if he hadn't been rescued himself first. You see, Moses was content to finish his life as a sheep herder. He was 80 years old. He thought, that's it. I'm done, right? But God had given him these greater skills. And when Moses finally gives in to God and believed that things were possible that he didn't think were possible, Moses was saved. And once Moses was saved and rescued, then what was he able to do? He was able to then believe that all things are possible with God, and he led the Israelites out of Egypt. And what God did with Moses through the Israelites, God did for us as well. He did it through Jesus, who has set every one of us free from whatever enslaves us, you know. And that whole story of Exodus, he keeps reminding me that our God can do anything if we ask for forgiveness and we truly believe that it's possible. And I think you were uniquely created for God to do something as well, you know. This church, I think, was created for greatness. But I don't think we believe that that's possible anymore. We settle for being less because we can. We settle for mediocrity because we don't believe that everything is possible through God. Do you think the Israelites would have left Egypt if they didn't believe that their God was more powerful, that their God could do anything that God decided needed to happen, you know? We have to really admit, I think, that each one of us, when it comes to our faith, are prisoners in Egypt. We don't believe that our God is more powerful than what's in the world. We don't believe that God can use our skills to take us to greatness. We don't believe that God can do anything except what we are capable of. But the whole story of Moses tells us that's not true. We can do far more than we're capable of if we just believe in God, you know? Maybe you've got something binding you today. Maybe you're like Moses and you think you're not a sheep herder because not too many people are, but you're in this job and it's okay, you know? Maybe I was a prince once. Maybe once I had a really important job, but now I'm just retired. Nothing's going to happen. God's not going to use me anymore, right? Maybe you've got an addiction, or maybe you've got this problem with hatred or resentment or anger. Maybe your marriage is like, well, it's just okay. We don't kiss anymore. We don't touch anymore. We don't do anything together, but it's just okay. You need a resurrection. God can really change that, you know? Are you just like the Israelites who couldn't believe that God could deliver them? What's in your heart today that's keeping you from being the greatness that God is calling you to do, keeping you from accomplishing whatever God has created you to accomplish? What is keeping this church from being the church that people want to flock to because God is here? Are we reluctant to believe that? Because if so, then look at today's story where thousands of Israelites were freed. When Moses himself was freed, when Moses was rescued so that he could be rescued. Do you want to be rescued? Are you ready for your exodus to go on and do whatever it is that God has called you to do? Are you ready to step into that water and cross that Reed Sea and move towards the promised land, the land that God has promised you? Well, if so, bow your head and say this prayer with me. God of the Exodus, thank you for delivering me from death into life. I know that with your help, there's nothing that can bind me, Lord. Help me to remember your mighty acts on my behalf in the past, the times that you've rescued me, and show me that there is a brighter tomorrow. Today I ask for forgiveness of my sins. Today I recommit myself to you, Lord. Free me from my chains. I want to make my exodus from, take a moment and fill in the blank. What is it that you want God to free you from this day? Walk with me, Lord, every day. Help me to live as a truly redeemed child of the Lord of the Most High God. Amen.